Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome to this Pod on the Tyne match day. Eddie Howe's men are back in Premier League action in the late kickoff against Liverpool. Chris has made the trip to the northwest with our old mate Luke Edwards. He's back with us on a very wet Merseyside, and Newcastle are looking to build on that impressive draw at PSG by trying to claim a historic win at Anfield. Please get in touch with the show via podonthetyne@gmail.com and check out our Extra Tyne subscription offering at podonthetyne.supportingcast.fm. for extra episodes, one-off specials, and documentaries. Right, that's enough of that. Let's get straight into the action.
And here go Newcastle United again, 0-0. 10 minutes to half-time. Willock up the left wing, taking on Szoboszlai. Barnes just inside the area. It's come to Gordon. Gordon, shot!
Yes!
Anthony Gordon back on Merseyside with a goal for Newcastle United at the cup end of Anfield, and it's a goal that's been coming. They are deservedly in front after a strong first half against last season's champions, and the away end goes wild. This is dangerous. Gakpo onto Salah on his left, right side of the area. Big block by United. Gravenberg, edge of the box. Vertz on the run, crosses it, and it seems to have gone through Nick Pope, and you might want to look at that one again. He's just squeezed it in. Ekitike, and Liverpool have an equaliser that they barely deserve. Oh, and Ekitike's wheeled off into space on the left. Pope was going to come and gets back on his line. Ekitike! An unbelievable turnaround by Liverpool, and Newcastle have been undone by a quick ball up the pitch. They look absolutely stunned. Trippier is wide right. Chow's pass is straight against Gakpo. And Ekitike back to the Dutchman. Gakpo inside to McAllister. Sorry, Vertz. And Salah in the area on his left. Back to Vertz! Newcastle United only have themselves to blame. Liverpool extend their lead. Lost it from the corner. And Liverpool rolling in from a position in the middle of the box for a fourth goal. It's Ibrahim Konate. Nick Pope with an error.
Right, we're just walking out into the night outside of Anfield. Newcastle United have just lost 4-1, their customary defeat at Anfield. This is going to be a bit of a walk and talk podcast. We have Luke Edwards of The Telegraph and the BBC on once more. Luke, it's 32 years since Newcastle United won at Anfield in the Premier League, and it's going to be at least later in 2026 if they play them the first half of next season before they're going to again after that.
Yeah, a movie we've all seen before, to be honest. I mean, I think if I can start with the positives, because there's a lot of negatives to come. For 40 minutes, certainly half an hour, that is the best I've seen Newcastle play here in my 20-odd plus years of covering Newcastle here. I thought they were brilliant. They had Liverpool exactly where they wanted them. The fans were beginning to turn. They'd taken the lead, a deserved lead. And it was, you know, the game plan was working perfectly. They had speed all over the pitch. They were forcing mistakes from Liverpool. They got the lead. And then I've just used this word to Eddie Howe in the press conference afterwards, they completely and utterly imploded in 2 minutes before half-time, and then the game just unravelled and followed a familiar pattern of Newcastle Anfield. 32 years, 1994, John Major was Prime Minister. I was a young man, the life ahead of me. Now I'm just a disillusioned hack who fears that I will never, ever see Newcastle win at Anfield.
I thought you were going to reel through all of the other things that you mentioned, that Alan Shearer was in your match piece, that Alan Shearer was a Blackburn Rovers and loads of other things.
Prince's The Most Beautiful Girl in the World was top of the charts. But it's...
You're very proud of
that. I was very proud of that. And I'm also quite proud that when we spoke at half-time, Chris, we both predicted Liverpool 4, Newcastle 1. So we got something right.
We did. It was before going into the game, earlier on the day chatting to you, I said that it almost feels like the similarities of when Newcastle went the Etihad almost this time last year. Yeah. Man City were struggling. It wasn't quite the positivity about Newcastle, certainly away from home, that there maybe was then at that stage, but it's like Liverpool maybe are there for the take and Newcastle have an opportunity here. And once again, if you look at the final result, it hasn't quite worked out that way. But as you mentioned, the team itself was interesting, and the way that Howe set up, it hasn't worked away from home. For the first time all season, he's had three strikers in a matchday squad, and yet none of them were in the starting 11, which is a different talking point, which I'll come on to later, probably not a great one. But Anthony Gordon starts through the middle, Barnes just off him, Langer to the right, goes for out-and-out pace. Howe, I asked him about this afterwards, and he has his answer on why he selected that side.
Yeah, we wanted to go for real pace today against their back line, so that was the idea behind the selection. And I think Anthony played really well today. Not just his goal, but his all-round play, his running ability, his athleticism was excellent, and his technical ability. So I thought he individually played really well, and I think it helped the team, and I think we gave them a problem. We couldn't use Louis Miley and Sven Botman today, so in terms of team selection and formation, it was sort of forced upon us to a degree, which is a disappointment. That's where I have to credit the players that we did use, and they've gone again after playing in Paris on Wednesday with all the travelling. You know, we're in a difficult spell because we can't rotate too many players.
So as you heard just there, he talked about basically the out-and-out pace you want to attack Liverpool with, and it did cause loads of problems, didn't it, for Liverpool?
It did, yeah. They were the better team for 40 minutes. Everything was going to plan, really. They didn't create a lot of chances, you know, great goal-scoring chances it were, but they were dominant, and Liverpool were really, really struggling. They couldn't cope with the pace, they couldn't cope with the movement, they couldn't cope with the intensity. And it was, you know, it was really sort of where they're picking up where they'd left off against PSG. And it was really impressive, and I'd never seen them look so comfortable. But just that 2 minutes before half-time, catastrophic defending, awful defending. And I've rarely seen him, and how normally keeps control of his emotions on the touchline. But I saw the replays after both goals. After the first one, he was absolutely furious. And I think he shouted some expletives in Jason Tindall's direction. So that shows you, really, that was the first goal. And then they just lost their heads. The second goal, it is just a long ball. The Liverpool people were talking about, like, Hugo Ekitike is one, like, you know, an absolutely amazing goal. He doesn't actually have to do very much until the finish. Tonali's running back. Malik Chow has him where he wants him. And unbelievably stops, well, slows down almost to a standstill, almost challenging Ekitike, saying, go on then, try and beat me, which he then does with ease. it's the only way I can put it. And it's embarrassing for Chow, really. I don't want to be too harsh, but it was embarrassing because he's challenged a player to beat him, and he does him for pace, and it's a great finish, to be fair, with the outside of his right boot. But that's 2 minutes, and from that point onwards, you knew they'd lost. You knew that the stuffing was knocked out of them. Their body language as they went off at half-time was deflated, and you just knew Liverpool had their tails up, and it just unravelled from there.
I mean, before we came to that moment, you mentioned earlier on Sunday Castle, they have the sort of fluid movement. I thought Gordon was really, really good through the middle, making really good runs, played in a few times, weren't loads of clear-cut chances, as you said, up to that point. And actually, I've never heard Anfield, the only years I've been here, that first half an hour, how nervous it was, yeah. How tetchy they were every time the home crowd, every time the ball was played across the back between Van Dijk and Alisson and Canardi, and they didn't know what to do with it. You could feel that they didn't have that self-belief in themselves.
No, and Barnes hit the post as well. We shouldn't forget that as really well. The really, really good strike, work free kick. And yeah, they as I said, they had Liverpool where they wanted them. If they would have, that was the plan. They had engineered this match situation where the home crowd were turning. Liverpool looked disorganised. They looked like a bit of a rabble. Mo Salah was terrible. And they were losing the midfield battle. And then it's just that 2 minutes, and you can't do that. And that is the story of this season, isn't it? I mean, that is the story of this season. They get into winning positions and they're throwing them away consistently. And Howe doesn't like, he didn't like that Kralanya questioning again after the game, but it's more drop points from a winning position.
16, they are the third most behind. I think it's Bournemouth and somebody else have 18, Newcastle have 16 now. So they hadn't dropped something for a few weeks, but again, that is an issue for them. I mean, and they drop it because they actually do take the lead. Weirdly, the game hadn't changed fully in tone, but the momentum was starting to shift, I thought, when Newcastle actually took the lead, that Liverpool was starting to improve slightly. They didn't actually look like scoring, they still weren't great, but then Newcastle catch them on the break. It's a really well worked move. The ball comes in from left hand side just behind Barnes, and it's actually McAllister sticks a foot in, the ball comes out to Gordon on the right hand side of the area. He takes a touch and then quickly whips a low shot across Alisson. That's Anthony Gordon's first goal from open play in the Premier League in 32 matches before this. It was since the middle of last January 2025. It's his first goal as an outfielder. And when he's played, non-penalty goal as a central striker when he's played. Sorry, yes, I couldn't get a word out there.
Yeah, a little bit mealy-mouthed there. It's his first goal in open play since January last year. I'll make it more succinct.
No, but when he was playing as a centre forward, he scored a penalty before. But his first time he scored in open play when he's actually played as a centre forward. He did score against Barcelona early in the season, but he'd shifted by then. And that was sort of just rewards for him and them at that stage.
Yeah, it was. It was. And it was a really good goal. And I thought Anthony Gordon's celebration was an interesting one. He didn't really celebrate, did he, in front of the cop, where he'd been getting booed all game. I would have thought that would have been the perfect opportunity to sort of give it back to Liverpool fans. He did cup his ear, in fairness, a little bit. But yeah, it was a really good goal. But that was as good as it got, Chris. I can't dwell on the positives. I'm just really, really deflated. Really, really deflated, because I've just seen that happen so many times at Anfield. And yeah, it was after that, that was the high point, and then it just went from bad to worse.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because on Slack, I quite often say this during the match, chatting to some of my athletic colleagues, we're doing stuff on the briefing and also for the match piece, and actually the sort of different sort of points of view that are coming into it. And I had that sort of negative tone. I'm sitting here, others are going, the courage in bits of the way that Newcastle set up. And it's like, yeah, but in the end, as encouraging it was at PSG, they didn't win. And here, as encouraging it might have been for half an hour, they end up losing 4-1. It's another defeat, on the road. Still only two wins in the Premier League away from home this season. Three in all competitions if you add USG from the Champions League. And then in that second half, I mean, you mentioned how bad Mo Salah is. Mo Salah, his record against Newcastle is still, he's abysmal all night and still manages to get an assist for Wirtz's goal, which kills the game. 3-1, that definitely does kill the game from that stage. Howe then actually makes significant changes. He brings on two of his centre forwards to begin with, shifts to a 4-2-3-1 with Valdemar just off Wisset. The game's already to a 3-1, so it's hard to have a go at them too much because they're coming into a difficult match situation. Later on, Asula comes on the pitch as well, actually on the wide on the right, so he has all three forwards on the pitch. But I mean, Newcastle have a bit of an issue, don't they? Regardless of whether Howe thought out and out pace was the answer here, to not start either their £55 million or £69 million centre forward here, it's quite a big statement, I think.
I think it tells you where they both are. I think Nick Valtomada, look, I still think there is a good player in there. But he looks shot at the moment. He looks low on confidence. Nothing's really working for him. Again, he comes on. He doesn't attack balls in the box. He doesn't look like getting on the end of anything. He's too deep. And I think, you know, he needs some time on the training ground, I think, because I think he needs to be rebuilt, really, at the moment. Wissa, I think he looks heavy. I've written about this in the Telegraph. I think I think that knee injury was a complicated one. I think he missed a lot of pre-season as well, but he looks short of sharpness, short of fitness, and he doesn't look quick. And I think there is a problem with those two strikers at the moment. And ultimately, it's a bit of a cliche, but you're only ever as good as your strikers in football. And the fact, as you say, that Anthony Gordon, a winger, is preferred to them, game plan or not, I think that's pretty damning. It will be fascinating to see what he does against Manchester City, where they've really got to go for it and try and overturn a two-goal lead. But I think there's a big problems at centre-forward now for them. You know, we're more than halfway through the season. I don't think either Voltimada or Wissa have been convincing so far overall.
No, I think that's a fair summation of where we are striker-wise. I mean, there is a fourth goal as well. Would you like to describe how you've described the fourth goal in your match piece as well? Because I think you're also very proud of this too.
Well, if you notice, Nick Pope drops a very simple cross. Kanate actually sort of mishits a shot, but it bounces in off the backside of Dan Byrne. And my line was, Newcastle United have once again made an arse of it.
Very good, very good. Well, they have made a mess of it, so it is a 4-1 defeat in the end. So Newcastle have lost at home and away to Liverpool. In both games, you can argue that they sort of were in the match. I mean, there was almost that match, that moment in the first half, wasn't there, which had shades of Anthony Gordon at St James's Park when he was sent off for catching Van Dijk when Liverpool were kicking off because he caught Alisson a bit late when he rushed onto him. But that's, so they've lost home and away to Liverpool. They've lost again to Arsenal. Their record against the current top six is that they've played 8, won 1, drawn 2, lost 5. Their record against the current top 9 above them in the table, they're 10th at the moment, the 9 above them in the table, they've only won 3 of 11 games against them, lost 6 of them, I think. They don't win at PSG, they lose against Barcelona. Seemingly, when they come up against the very best team, they are lacking that killer touch in either box and they are coming up short.
Yeah, and again, it comes back to the strikers, though, doesn't it? And I know we don't want to talk about him because he was sat there looking very smug in the stands, clapping the Liverpool goals, but they haven't replaced Alexander Isak. I mean, Alexander Isak was the player, particularly away from home, who got you the goals that you know, settled tight games or gave you smash and grabs. And until they can get the two strikers up and running and find a way to get the best out of them, I think that is getting lots of training into Wissa. And then just trying to get Voltimada on the training ground and get him attacking the ball in the box and playing higher up the pitch. I think until they can get those strikers going, it's going to be a difficult season. And it is a difficult season to this point. I think we always knew it would be. But it's a really, really tough month coming up as well.
And I did ask Eddie Howe about Newcastle's struggles against the very best teams in the league and certainly against Liverpool home and away.
Today we sort of got the goal and we're quiet in the crowd, we've done so much right, and then, yeah, we didn't defend well enough, and we have to hold our hands up to that. I can't see anything other than we need to defend better, especially coming here or any stadium away game. You look back at the four goals we conceded today, and how we've ended up conceding four is a bit of a mystery. But there were some moments we didn't do well enough.
This defeat leaves Newcastle 10th. It's back-to-back Premier League defeats, actually. They're 10th. They are 6 points behind Liverpool, who are in 5th. I think they're 7 points behind Chelsea, who are in 4th, but there probably will be 5 Champions League qualification positions. It is now looking very difficult, isn't it, for a top five finish. Now Newcastle have to find some consistency. Howe himself even said that afterwards, that that's what they need to do in the Premier League. He talked about there being a lot of games to go, but they have to play a lot of the very best teams, particularly away from home.
Yeah. I think top eight is the target, I think, for this season. I think top five would be phenomenal. But I didn't think back in August that they would get top five, if I'm being truthful. And nothing that has happened this season has gone to convince me otherwise. We always knew this was going to be a difficult campaign. I just hope everyone's going to have to be patient. They're going to have to hang in there. the team are going to need them. There's no point really screaming and shouting and being overly critical of what is happening. It was always going to be a difficult season, and that's what it's proving to be. But yeah, I think top five is a big, big ask.
And how are you feeling about that Man City game? They're going to go there on Wednesday. Got a 2-0 deficit to overturn. They've got a terrible record at the Etihad.
Yeah, I mean, we're all expecting them to lose. So I think in some ways, after this, that's actually not a bad fixture to have, because we're all expecting them to be beaten and exit the Carabao Cup at the semi-final stage. There's not really going to be that much pressure on them. They can just have a go. Who knows? Who knows, Chris? It's football. Anything can happen.
And finally, we're just about to go back up the M6 to a hotel. Do you want to describe this hotel? Because I think this is quite different to your previous experiences of hotels with me.
Well, you normally choose appalling hotels, if I'm being frank, but this one is absolutely delightful. Really nice. We've been to the gym today, didn't we?
Matthew Riesbeck actually chose this, just to clarify.
Well, okay, but we've been to the gym. We ran and got sweaty together in the gym, which was a nice moment. And we're hopefully going to go back now and find a bar that is open when we get back to our hotel, because I could really do with a drink.
Yes, I think we all could. So that is us signing off from Anfield. Going to head up the M6 now. Newcastle United have lost 4-1. They are 10th in the Premier League. You will not hear from us again until after that match at the Etihad, where the podcast will go out to everyone on all feeds so that we can see whether Newcastle have managed to overturn it and get back to the Carabao Cup final for the second year, the third in 4 years, or whether they have given up their trophy. And then later on in the week, there will be an Extra Time podcast, which will have some of the best moments from David Hopkinson and Ross Wilson when they were on our live show last week. So thank you very much for tuning in, everyone. Unfortunately, the almost inevitable defeat that there was at Anfield once again, and Newcastle find themselves in a very difficult position. Speak to you very, very soon. Toodaloo.